Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast.
LA Rams! LA Rams! LA Rams!
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter from Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. This is the Thursday edition of Locked On Rams, and you know what that means. We got Vinny Bonsignor on today. We'll get to that interview in a little bit. We are now just a few days away for the quote-unquote Battle of LA. Pretty sure we KO'd them the moment they got here, but this is going to be a good time for us to go out there. Get a big win during the regular season. Guys, before we get going, I want to make sure I mention where you can find me. Of course, the podcast can be found on iTunes and Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you stream or download podcasts from, you can find your boy Bear there. So make sure to hit the subscribe button. Share it with a friend. We appreciate everybody as we've seen this podcast grow. Big shout outs to you guys. Let's keep it going. Let's keep growing Rams Nation in this podcast. I'm really excited to have amazing guests on every week that really make this easy for me and also can bring you some really good content. Vinny's got some great insight for us later today. I'm excited to share with you guys. He's a writer for The Athletic. If you guys don't know about this yet, go check it out. Subscriptions are like $2.99 right now. If you don't have a promo code, just reach out to me. I'm sure I can dig one up for you. We were running some promos here on the network for a while. And then as we mentioned the network, man, we're killing it over here. We're growing like crazy. We have 110 podcasts plus right now. Seems like every week we're adding more. NCAA is off and running. We've got some amazing teams. I'm a big Michigan fan, so I've been tuning into that one. And then we've got Matt Williamson with the Locked On NFL. He's got a great week of guests over there, so make sure to check him out. As well as the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. If you guys are struggling with Starter Sit, make sure to go check them out. I believe the Starter Sit episodes are Wednesday or Thursday. Waiver Wire, they got you back there as well. So take a little gander around the network and you'll find some good stuff. But we're here now. We're on Locked On Rams. Don't forget to find me on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Rams. Personal at LA_RamblingBear. And before we get over that conversation I had earlier today with Vinny, I want to make sure to give some shout-outs to some people that have been reaching out to me on social media. And it's just going to be a little mini segment we try to do once a week, and we'll do it today, and it's called Big Ups with Bear. So big ups to Orange Shea McCoy, reached out to us from Texas. I mean, does it get any more Texas than that? McCoy, my man McCoy, there go the McCoy boys. Oh, that was a terrible accent, by the way. But I got to give him a big ups because he reached out and said he's listening in from Fort Worth, Texas, holding it down for the Ramley out there. He mentioned his mom is a diehard Raiders fan. He had some fun rubbing that win back in week one. But I want to make sure I gave him a shout out because I appreciate reaching out and hearing where everyone's listening from. So, Mr. McCoy, thank you, sir. And then moving along, big ups to Mike Cook. Been reaching out. He's been doing his own MyBookie picks for the three games that we're picking and sharing it with us on Facebook. I love it. It's always fun to see how other people break down those games. So, Mike, appreciate you getting involved on Facebook and sharing some of your thoughts on the team and the whole MyBookie segment. So I'm glad you guys are enjoying that and continue to reach out. Still am waiting for my first phone call. Who's it going to be? Am I going to have to like give away like a Rams hat or something to get someone to call in? If you're a new listener, here's the deal. I got a number, 657-345-4988. Give me a buzz. Maybe after this game, maybe at halftime. Tell me how you're feeling at halftime, and then maybe one after the game. I don't know. Let's get crazy. Give me something I can use on Monday, because I want to hear instant reaction from you guys on that game as we hopefully talk about a victory Monday once again. And lastly, before we get over some transaction news and notes, we talked it's going to be a busy time for the Rams as they had to fill in one more spot. Well, technically two, because they made Jermon Brown active, which took up a spot. And then they called up Kadarrell Hodge, which we had thought maybe it happened last week. They brought JoJo up, obviously due to the kick return and punt return game that he can excel in, and we saw that, 22 yards average return. Well, now it's Kadarrell Hodge's turn. McVay and this group have tons of confidence in him. He played well in the preseason. Not sure how much we're going to get to see him this game, as we're still waiting to see Josh Reynolds a little bit, but you never know. He's a fast, speedy guy. McVay likes to use everybody on the roster, so he'll pitch in one way or another if it's on special teams or on the offense. And then the injury report, Mark Barron, McVay said, is still day-to-day, but most likely not going to play. He was pretty open and candid about that instead of trying to be all sleek and slick and say, you'll have to wait. He basically said it's not looking good for him to start. You don't want to push him in that. So we shouldn't expect to see him on Sunday. A couple new names on the injury report as well. Michael Brockers and Sullivan also appeared on that injury report. I don't think it's anything to be too concerned about. I think that's just limited at practice. And as we get later in the season, you'll see a lot more guys added to that list as they, you know, don't practice as much in between the week and start getting banged up. I mean, these are big hits they're taking every week. So we expect them to play, but they showed up as well. And then we re-signed Brandon Allen to the practice squad. He cleared waivers, so he's back on the team. He's on the practice squad. All right, guys, well, that's pretty much it. I'm going to throw it over to my conversation I had earlier with Vinny Bonsignor. Don't forget, you can find him on Twitter at Vinny Bonsignor. You can read all of his articles at The Athletic. $2.99 is basically your get-in price right now. It's going to go up, so you might as well get in now. They do great content covering all LA teams and really all teams across the country. But Vinny is the representation out here in Los Angeles, does an amazing job. So make sure to check that out. But without further ado, here's my conversation with Vinny Bonsignor from The Athletic. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. This is the Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. We are excited, as always, to have our next guest. You can find him as an NFL and Rams writer for The Athletic, as well as you can listen to him on AM 570 and Locked On Rams every Thursday. Vinny Bonsignor. Vinny, how are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in here. I'm excited for Sunday, this regular season edition of the Fight for LA. We saw the preseason edition of it last year, and it didn't go too well for the Rams, although it was preseason. But I lost a couple bets I had to pay up to because I thought we were going to win that game. So I've got some rematches to kind of cash in this year here with the regular season. But you were out at practice today. You were at the press conferences. Sean McVay spoke. Jared Goff spoke. Anything come out of today's practice and press conference that kind of caught your eye or caught your attention?
Well, I think more than anything, I really like the demeanor of this team, and I like the maturity of this team. And, you know, first of all, they understand the challenges that the Chargers present. And I know that there's a lot of, especially LA Rams fans, who, you know, they don't want to hear anything about the Chargers, and totally get it, totally understand. But from a football perspective, this is a really good football team, and I think that they've got the Rams' attention, and rightfully so, and I think that that's where the Rams' attention needs to be, is on the Chargers and nothing else, none of the, you know, quasi-fight for Los Angeles. One thing for fans outside of California, I was just talking to Roger Saffold about this, the logistics of this rivalry, I mean, one team is based in Orange County, the other team is based in Northern Ventura County, which is you know, north of Los Angeles. So there's really no crossing of paths with these two teams during the season because they're situated so far apart. Even on Sundays, one team is in Los Angeles, the other team is in Carson. It'll get a little bit hot and heavier when they actually share a stadium and we end up, you know, finding out where both of these teams are situated in terms of their facilities. But for right now, it might as well be Los Angeles versus San Diego because that's about as much as these teams actually see of each other. So for the fans, I think it's a fun little rivalry. And yeah, the Rams understand that they're sharing the same city with the Chargers, but I think that's about as far as it goes.
No, that's a good point. And has the Chargers really announced where they're going to move their kind of long-term home from Carson once they move up here to the stadium? Has that been announced yet?
No, they haven't, and neither have the Rams. I do expect the Rams to stay somewhere near where they are right now, which is in Thousand Oaks, maybe the San Fernando Valley, which is, you know, not too far away. But in that area, I feel like that's where the Rams are going to end up staying. You know, I've talked to Dean Spanos, the Chargers owner, and I think that ideally he wants to be closer to Los Angeles, somewhere in Los Angeles. And I think that, you know, from the Chargers' perspective, you know, they want some sort of an anchor, an L.A. identity for them to build around. And I think that they're looking for, you know, a situation where their practice facility is also maybe an entertainment district where you have a hotel and a restaurant and things like that to do. So it's a destination point, and that can be their, you know, L.A. identity. But they haven't, you know, located the proper land, the necessary land to do that yet. But those announcements will be coming, you know, fairly soon, within the year or so. They got to get started on building it, locating it, building it, buying it, and getting it approved, because things are hard to come by here in California politically and when you're talking about big projects. So they got to get on the ball on that.
Yeah, you're right there, and it's funny as I do podcasts around the country and I listen to people kind of ask me about what the Chargers, how they're represented out in L.A., and I live in L.A., and you're right. As of right now, it's almost like they're not here. They're almost still down in San Diego, but if you ask the people in San Diego, they're long gone. But as we kind of move forward here, you talked about you love this team because they're so focused on the task at hand, and that usually is, you know, whoever they're facing up against in the upcoming week, but you know, we talked about this last week when we had you on the show, and we always get into those power rankings and how everything's coming out. You just wrote an article on The Athletic about the Rams staying focused while being, you know, named basically number one in the NFL on multiple media outlets. Without giving any spoiler alerts from that article, what do you have to say about being around the team and as you mentioned, being so focused? And then real quick plug for you, guys, go check out Vinny on The Athletic. If you don't have a subscription already, you got to get it. But thoughts on that, Vinny?
Yeah, you know, these guys do a really good job of staying in their little bubble and trying to, you know, just block out the noise, whether it's good or bad, you know, and each, both can be harmful, you know, if you fill your head up with it a little too much. Now, I was told by, you know, a source within the team that, you know, it takes discipline to do that, especially when it's good like this. It takes discipline to live that way on a day-by-day basis in this profession where you're not being affected by that noise, whether it's good or bad. But I do sense from this team, and you know, I go back a pretty long ways here in Los Angeles, and you know, I covered some really good Los Angeles Laker teams, and one of the standout traits of those teams was their intelligence and their maturity. You know, I think from afar, even the Magic Johnson era or the Shaq and Kobe era, you know, there might have been, you know, Shaq was a fun-loving guy and all that, but when it got right down to it, he was really smart, and so was Kobe, and so was Pau Gasol and Derek Fisher and, you know, Robert Horry and on and on and on, Rick Fox. These guys were professionals, and they knew how to handle the good and the bad, and I really look at this Rams team, and I see so many of the same qualities with players like Robert Woods and Andrew Whitworth and Jared Goff and Roger Saffold and on and on and on. They have a good grasp of what their responsibility is and where their focus should be and not to get too high or too low. And that's the sense that I'm getting this week after two big weeks, two blowout wins. They've outscored their opponents 57-0 over the last six quarters. They are probably the best team in the league right now when you talk about a complete team offensively, defensively, and special teams. Heck, they got guys coming off the street to go for, you know, $133 on punt returns, you know, who was sitting on the couch a week ago watching games on television. They just seem to have all their bases covered, so they're arguably the best team, but it's not something they're wearing in that sort of a way. I think they embrace the challenges of it, but they're not getting caught up in it.
That's a great comparison you mentioned to the Laker teams, and, you know, L.A. fans should get really excited about that, knowing kind of how the success came for those Lakers during that time period, and to see how these teams can kind of have similarities there is really exciting, because I think that's what a lot of Rams fans are expecting, not only making a run this year and putting themselves in that conversation, but doing it for the next few years after that, as the Lakers did in that time, and really kind of put themselves on the map here in LA. There's a lot of you know, Laker talk with LeBron, so winning will help that out. You mentioned JoJo Natson coming up and having an amazing game. I'm going to take a quick break here, and on the other side, I'm going to talk to you about some of the injury updates and a couple new faces we're going to see at the Coliseum on Sunday. So we'll be right back with more with Vinny Bonsignore on the other side. All right, we are back, Thursday edition. We've got Vinny with us, and we're talking all things Rams. He was out at practice today and the press conferences. As we left on the other side, we talked about JoJo Natson. Me and you last week, as we were kind of looking at the roster, we were expecting maybe a call-up for Kadarrell Hodge. We're about a week late, but here he is getting his call-up. Jermon Brown is being activated as well. Talk to us about, you know, what we can expect from those two guys, how much we potentially will see them, and really, I guess, what's going on at that right guard position with Jermon Brown and Austin Blythe?
Well, what's going on is Austin Blythe has played lights out football. And, you know, credit him. You get your opportunity in life in general, not just sports, but in life in general, and you know, it's on you to be ready to seize it. He seized the moment those first 2 weeks, and I think that you know, open up a lot of eyes within the Los Angeles Rams about his ability, and not just short range, but long range. And you know, just talked to Javon about this, and Javon agreed. You know, obviously he wants to start and is a proud competitor in his own right and a good football player in his own right. But I think it's on Javon now to show that he's the starter. But I don't think it's going to be handed to him by any stretch of the imagination. So it's a good problem to have at the end of the day. Now, you know, even if Javon is coming off the bench, what great depth that you have. A guy that could play guard and tackle, for that matter. Javon has experience at both positions. So, I mean, if we go into Sunday for the Rams and you see that Javon Brown's not your starter, but he's also, you know, a backup, that's not a bad thing necessarily. So give all the credit to Austin Blythe. And I really felt like Javon had a great attitude about it. He put himself in this position, and right. He knows that. And he opened a door for somebody to step in. And this is a highly, highly, highly competitive world that these guys operate in. And this is bound to happen sometimes, and it has. But he's handled it really, really maturely and was, you know, more than gracious about it today. What could he really say? You know, the kids played really well, and he's acknowledging that. But credit to Javon so far for having a really good attitude about it.
Yeah, and that's interesting because if you think about some other positions, you know, on a team, and you've got that controversy, or you've got two guys that are really good, you know, kick it over the D line, you could just rotate those guys in a little bit more and get some people some snaps. Same at the linebacker position, wide receiver, running back. You see a lot of back sharing time. But there's certain positions that you really just don't do that with, right? The O-line, you don't see guys kind of coming in and coming out in between drives, and same with the quarterback situation. So I guess with Jermon Brown, it's kind of just a wait and see. I don't expect to see McVay get him in and get some action, but would I be wrong to assume that?
That's a great question, and I think that I don't know. I get the feeling that Jermon might see some time. You know, I'm not saying a straight rotation at all, but you know, it's probably in the Rams' best interest to try to get him in there at some point, especially if the score is working in their favor, but just because he's going to need to get ready at some point, because you know, you knock on wood when it comes to injuries, but this is a battle of attrition, the NFL season is, and it could circle back to him in a big way where he's going to need to be starting, you know, in some form or fashion. So you know, having him ready and having him, you know, just have that game experience under his belt or get up to speed again, I don't think is the worst thing. So I don't know. I'm 50-50 on it. I wouldn't be surprised either way if we don't see him or if we see him a little bit.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, kind of that offensive line, and that's one of those positions that you really just kind of hope you can be together as long as possible. Last year, the Rams really had the longest starting streak of O-lines out of the whole NFL. That rarely happened, especially to go back-to-back years with it. So you almost just assume it's going to happen at some point. We even saw John Sullivan on the injury report today. I don't think we're too worried about seeing him on Sunday, but if at some point, you know, Sullivan gets a little bit more banged up, I'm assuming we take Austin Blythe, slide him down to the center position, which he filled in a few times last year, and then there you go, Javon Brown's all of a sudden back on the line. So you're right, you got to stay ready and prepared at all times back there. And kind of moving on and looking at, you know, the wide receiver position, before today, we really only had four guys on the roster. We moved up Kadarrell Hodge, a guy that made a ton of plays in the preseason, so I don't expect if he gets into the game that he'll be lacking anything, really. But one guy we haven't seen a lot of yet, and I'm surprised, and I want to get your thoughts on it, is Josh Reynolds. I don't think he's actually registered a target yet. We got three guys that are amazing at the top, but when do we start to see, you know, Josh Reynolds get involved, and then even, you know, newly acquired or added Kadarrell Hodge?
Yeah, they really like Reynolds a lot, but it's just so tough when you're talking about the kind of starting wide receivers that they have in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks. You saw what Brandon Cooks was capable of doing. My goodness, on Sunday, and all three of those guys are capable of putting those kind of numbers up on any given week. And they're just so good at what they do and present so many challenges for a defense across the board when you're talking about the wide receiver position. So it's really tough for anyone else to crack into that. I saw Josh out on the field. He was out on the field. They ran some four wide receiver sets. But, you know, this is an 11-man, 11 personnel group or team primarily. And, you know, it's going to take a lot for a guy like Josh Reynolds to figure, I mean, just to figure into it somehow, some way, even though he's really good. And I can say the same thing about Gerald Everett. I mean, he flashed a little bit, you know, on Sunday. He's been working his way back into it after the shoulder injury and getting back up to speed and back on the track, you know, with what the Rams are doing. But you saw what he's capable of doing with the ball in his hands. He had a nice 17-yard play that showed pretty much everything that he had: speed, catching, you know, tossed tacklers off of him. He's a big, strong kid. But it's going to be on him to take advantage of his opportunities to show the Rams, hey, you know, I deserve to be out here even more. But, man, it's hard to get them out of that 11-man personnel because the four guys that they have out there, with, you know, when you add Todd Gurley into the equation, are really, really good.
Yeah, they're fun to watch, and that's one of the exciting things as we, you know, look across and see how defenses are going to match up against them. You know, you can kind of cut out a couple people if you're lucky out of the offense, but the depth in our offense is just so awesome from the, you know, you mentioned the top three wide receivers, and then even having a guy like Josh Reynolds who hasn't really gotten a lot of action yet, but if, you know, given an opportunity, could go in there and make plays. So that will be something to watch definitely this Sunday, see how McVay kind of gets some of those other guys like Gerald Everett more involved. We're going to take our last commercial break. We're going to be back on the other side with a couple more questions with Vinny about the upcoming game against the Chargers this week at the Coliseum. All right, we are back. Our final segment of the day, Locked On Rams Thursday edition with Vinny Bonsignor. Vinny, we got the matchup versus the Chargers. We talked about, you know, being the fight for LA, which was the big thing, you know, a year ago when they came up here. But most of the players and everyone in the city has kind of moved on from that part of it and just want to play football. It's their first regular season game back in the Coliseum as both teams being in LA. Marcus Peters had some fun comments today. I saw you tweet out about it, and you know, he seems to love this matchup with Phillip Rivers. He's done really well with them in the past, but he didn't really come off disrespectful in any way, but I loved his energy that kind of came through the tweets. Talk to us about what Marcus Peters had to say about this matchup with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, and I want to make it clear that in no way was it disrespectful. In fact, I went back to him, you know, off to the side and said, hey, you know, thanks for taking that, because I asked him the question, you know, for taking it the right way. He goes, no, I totally understand where you were coming from. He goes, and he wants it to be clear that I literally like the guy. I like the way he competes. I like the way he challenges me. So it was all good. You know, it was all from the heart and earnest. But basically what he said was, and what I asked him was, you know, because of your numbers against him, at the very least, it shows you that he's not afraid of challenging you. He's not afraid of coming your way. And there are quarterbacks who are afraid to throw to his side of the field. That's just a fact of life. We saw it last week. I don't think he got targeted one time by Sam Bradford, and very few went to leave, who did a really good job in when the ball did come his way. But, and that's what Marcus Peters, that's why he said, I effing love Phillip Rivers for that reason. I love how he competes. I love what he brings to the table. You know, and I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm not saying it because I have good numbers against him. I'm saying it because I literally like the way he competes and the way he challenges you to compete too. So it was all good. And you know, I like Marcus because to me, he's super honest. I know he wears it all on his sleeve. He's an emotional guy, but you know, and a lot of that is bravado, and I get it. Guys have to dial themselves up the way they dial themselves up to get to the point, you know, where they're out there doing their thing. But he's also super, super honest, and I like that he wasn't afraid to say, you know, exactly how he felt about a competitor that he's, you know, got his number. He has Phillip Rivers' number. There's no question about it. But part of that is because Phillip says, all right, you may have my number, but that's not going to be, I'm not going to be afraid to keep dialing it up toward you because I feel like I'm just as good as you are and I'm going to keep coming at you. And one of these days I'm going to get the better of you.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Marcus Peters is so fun to listen to, kind of all the stuff that comes out. And you can tell, he, like you said, very honest and open about everything. I think Rams Nation would have no complaints if we had a 24/7 mic'd up version of him throughout the rest of the season. It definitely gives us some great stuff to listen to. And it, weirdly, you know, this brought me back to, you know, another player in the league, D'Angelo Hall. When he retired, he talked about, man, Jay Cutler never stopped coming at me, and if he kept throwing at me, I'd be a Hall of Famer. And I see some similarities here because the one thing about Phillip Rivers that you mentioned, he's not afraid of, you know, a challenge or going at somebody. And on Sunday, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what type of pressure we can get on him and how he's going to make those split decisions. I saw his press conference today, and he talked about making smart decisions and getting the ball out quickly. And he said the same thing. He's not afraid of Marcus Peters. He likes him as a competitor, and he's going to still go at where the play is best suited. So we should see some fun stuff happening at the Coliseum on Sunday as these two square off. Before we let you get out of here, we did it last week. The MyBookie is a big part of what we do here, and the Rams are a -7.5. Do you think the Rams cover the spread, and how do you see this one kind of ending out?
Yeah, I do, actually, and I think that this will be it's going to be a fun game. The Chargers, make no mistake, they're a talented football team, and they've got a premier quarterback in Phillip Rivers and a premier running back in Melvin Gordon. And Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and a really good defense that, unfortunately Joey Bosa is not playing, but that defense is still pretty darn good and a good young safety in Derwin. But I do think that the Rams are just, they're so complete. And if you blink just a little bit, they're going to get you. They're complete. They're smart. They're mature. They can get you on special teams. They can get you defensively on a pick six, taking it to the house. We know that they can move the ball, obviously, and put pressure on you defensively. So, I think that the Chargers hang in there. But I think, when it gets right down to it, the Rams are just too much for them. And they're too much for a lot of teams. And eventually, if they're playing clean football, they're going to get you. They're going to wear you down, and they're going to get you. So, yeah, I do think that they win. I think they cover the spread again.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and you talked about it. Such a complete team, from three phases. If you make a mistake, they're going to capitalize on it, not only special teams, but defense and offense. So I'm with you. I think it's going to be a fun game in that first half, but I think at some point Phillip Rivers is going to have to start getting that pressure of, I need to make some plays, and we got to score some points, and I think that's where they get into trouble. And, we'll win the field position battle with Johnny Hecker if need be. So going to be exciting game. I'm with you. I think they cover the spread. Vinny, thanks so much for your time. You're actually calling in your car right now, so we appreciate you making some time for us. Guys, don't forget to give him a follow on Twitter. It's at Vinny Bonsignor. You can also find him. He's writing for The Athletic, covering the Rams and the NFL. So check that out. And then AM 570 as well. You can hear him on there reporting for the Rams. Vinny, thanks so much. I'm excited to talk to you next week. Have fun at the game.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. I'll say one other thing. It's not just the three parts of the game. I think they have the fourth other part, which is their coaching. When you talk about Sean McVay and Wade Phillips and their assistant coaches, but those two in general, that's another part of the game that the Rams are complete in. So just to throw that in there.
No, I like it, and I'll take your step, and I'll go one further. It's a home game. Hopefully we got Rams Nation behind. That could be the fifth unit to help them win the game out there. So with all things played, hopefully we got good advantage going into this game. Thanks, Vinny.
All right, man. Talk to you next week.